Now turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Today we're going to study one of Paul's prayers. Now you say, Teresa, I really need help in my prayer life. If you could just go through the New Testament and take the prayers of Paul and pray them, pray through them. You're praying scripture, you're praying according to God's will, you would pray in a very powerful way. And so today we're going to be looking at one of those prayers. And it's just incredible. And I'm going to do my best to get through it in one Sunday because we're not going to meet next Sunday because next Sunday's Christmas. So I don't want to teach half of it now and half of it 2 weeks later. So I'm going to do my best to get this whole prayer in one lesson. So
next Sunday service on.
Yes, just service only, no Sunday school. So, next Sunday service only. So, I'm so glad you're here this morning. Leah, this is an empty table here if y'all want to come sit here. How are you, babes? Good to see you. I'm so glad you're here today.
You can sit here.
Or you can sit here. Sit with Kay because she's by herself.
Okay.
So, let's open with a word of prayer. I'm getting ahead of myself, aren't I? So, let's pray together. Father, this lesson is just so rich. And this prayer is so powerful. And I pray this morning that you would just help me to share adequately what's in this prayer, to help us to see the importance of what Paul is praying for us as well as for those in Ephesus. And so, Father, this morning, would you just give us attentive hearts? We've been so busy as we've gotten up, and this season is so frantically hectic. And yet this morning, here we are, seated around these tables, opening up the Word of Life. And God, we want to hear from you this morning. So speak very personally to us. Speak very powerfully to us. Father, I just wish I was more gifted in communicating all of the richness that's here. So help me, Father. And we just rely on your Spirit to open our eyes, to see things about you that we've never seen before, to understand, God, what your holy word says to us, and let it impact us. And so, Father, just help us to listen. I thank you so much for every woman that got up and made preparation to be here this morning. Father, speak to them. Bless their families. Bless them, Father. And just we thank you for the beauty of the season, God, and we just want to direct our attention to you, that everything we do during the season would just flow out of a heart of worship, out of a heart of worship, because you became flesh and dwelt among us, and the wonderful impact that that has for our lives. Just help us to know these things, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start by just reading this prayer. We find it in verses 15 through 23. And we're going to just kind of read through it, and then I'm going to kind of back up and do some foundation, and then we're going to eventually get to the prayer. In verse 15, it says this, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." Now here's what he prays. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Now this is just a beautiful prayer by the Apostle Paul. Now let's just ask this question. Why does Paul pray this prayer right here in chapter 1. Well, I want you to see, and I think I put this on your handout, it comes in response to the great statement of theology that he's just given us in verses 3 through 14. Now, in those verses, he's carefully outlined for us what is our resource and what is our position in Christ. He's told us who we are, and he's told us what we possess. And I told you last week and the weeks previous that verses 3 through 14 is the longest sentence in the Bible. I think it's 212 words. And it's just one sentence, and it's designed to tell us what it is that God has done for us in Christ. And I've been teaching on that one sentence now for the last 3 weeks. That sentence discusses the great concept. Do you remember the key words? What are there? There are three of them. Number one, election. That's the unique metaphor, Ted. Yeah. That's good. That's where we're told we're a body. But the three key words there, number one, election. Do you remember the second one?
One is inheritance.
That's the third one.
Redemption.
Good. And what you studied in that one sentence of the Bible, I'm telling you, ladies, that's meaty. These are the deep things of God that we've been looking at. These are things that are very hard to grasp. Now, you're in Ephesians 1. I want you to put a marker there, and I want to take you one other place. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 2:10. 1 Corinthians 2:10. So keep a marker there and go to 1 Corinthians. Let me make sure it's not 2 Corinthians. Okay, good. 1 Corinthians 2:10. I actually want you to look at verse 9. Let's start with verse 9. Paul writes this to the Corinthians. He says, just as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, he's talking about Christians here. You know, it hasn't even entered your heart. Your mind can't even get your handle on all the things that God's prepared for those who love him. It's amazing. Let's go on a little further. For to us being to Christians, God revealed them. How does God reveal to us what is ours? Look at it there. Study your Bible with me. What does he say?
Through
the Spirit. Now, what Spirit is he talking about there? The Holy Spirit. All right, let's go a little further. For the Holy Spirit searches all things. Even the deep things of God, the depths of God. You see, in order for us to even understand what is ours in Christ, we have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. He reveals it to us. Now let's go to verse 11. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. In other words, what he's saying here is we've got to depend upon the Holy Spirit for an understanding of the deep things of God. Now, believe me, verses 3 through 14 that we've just been studying, these are deep things. And we've got to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Now, let's read one more verse there, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Now look, when you were saved, when you were born again, you received at that moment the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He moved right into your physical body. He took up residence in you. And this tells us when he came in, he's our resident teacher. He's the one that is going to guide us into truth. We can't even understand what is ours in Christ apart from him. And so he's in us, and I love what verse 12 says there. He's going to let us know the things freely given to us by God. Now, all Christians possess the Holy Spirit. That's how you know you're born again. And I told you last week, you said, Teresa, I'm not sure I'm really saved. I mean, I'm churched. My name's on a roll. I've been baptized. I've prayed a little prayer. That's not what makes you saved. Saved is when you actually have a transaction with the living God. You were in Satan, and he takes you out of Satan's camp, and he places you in Christ Jesus. And when you're born again, the Spirit of God moves right into you. He's your teacher. He guides you into truth. And he helps you understand things that are beyond human understanding. Now, go back to Ephesians 1. Paul is describing here who you are in Christ. Now, write this. I think I put this on your handout. He's giving us truth. And let me tell you what kind of truth he's giving us. It's called positional truth. He's giving us positional truth. And I want to stop at this point, and I want to talk to you for a minute, and I think this is really going to help you. I want to talk about your position, who you are in Christ. When that transaction was done, I'm having time talking this morning. God legally did something. He legally placed you in Christ. It was a legal transaction that occurred. So we want to talk about our position before God in Christ, and we want to talk about our practice, because those two are a little different. And you have to make a distinction when you're studying the Bible about your position and your practice. And if you don't understand the two, you'll get a little confused. Now, many things in the Bible are positional truths, and other things are practical truths. Now, let me give you an example and help you. For example, your position has to do with your standing before God. Your standing before God. And your practice has to do with your experience or your daily walk. Now, let me give you an example. You know, you can go to one part of the Bible, and it says this about you. Now you are holy. That means set apart, righteous, sanctified. I like that. But in that very same place, you go to another part a few paragraphs away, and it says, now cleanse yourself from all filthiness. Well, which is it? You just said I was holy, and now you're saying, cleanse me from all filthiness. That can be confusing. But positionally, when Christ looks at me, I am holy. You are holy. That's one thing about positional truth. Here's another thing, and jot these down. You're holy. You're righteous. Positionally, when God looks at you, you're in Christ. You're holy. You're righteous. Here's another one. You are one with Him. Speaking of Christ. But my practice is down here. Now, we've just learned I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. And spiritually, God has placed me in Christ. Where is He? He is seated where? At the right hand of God the Father. In Him, I'm one with Him. I'm righteous. I'm holy. But actually, I'm living down here on planet Earth, and remember, I'm in the process of sanctification. And so what I want you to see is that the Christian life is the process of becoming who you are in Christ positionally. Did I put that on your handout? The Christian life is the process of just becoming who you are in Christ positionally. Now look, I was saved way back there in the past. I am destined to an inheritance, and I'm going to be made completely like Christ. I'm going to be glorified like Him, but in the meantime, I'm living in the process of what is known as sanctification. Now look, I'm not like I was. I'm not all I should be. I'm in process right now, and that's my practice. But positionally, I'm already in Him. Positionally, God has already placed me in Christ, and we already saw I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. And that is your position. That is your position. Now, I want you to understand this morning. I think I put this on your handout. Oh, there's some more things about your position. You are a child of the King. He lives in you, and He lives through you. Christian growth has nothing to do with your position in Christ. Christian growth has nothing to do with your position in Christ. Now, let me ask you this question. When you were born again, how much of your sin was forgiven? Write down the answer. How much of your sin was forgiven? What did you put?
Oh.
All right, your past, your present, and your future. All right, all of your sin was forgiven when you were born again. Now that is your position. That is your position. I want to say something and hear me. What you do or what you don't do has absolutely no effect on your position before God. If you're in Christ, nothing you do while you're living on earth can affect your position. You're secure. Now, I put a test question there. I want you to look at it. And it says this, as I grow and mature as a Christian, God likes me better. Is that true or false? Now, I have to give you a clue. That is a very tricky question. But answer it honestly in your heart. As I grow and mature as a Christian, God likes me better. Do you think that's true or false? All right, who put true? Sometimes we live like that, don't we? What is it? Is it true or false? It's false. It's false. Can I just say this, that you can't do anything to make God like you better or like you less, because God loves you totally and perfectly in Christ Jesus. You can't do anything to make Him forgive you more or forgive you less, because He's already forgiven you everything, past, present, future. If you're in Christ, you can't do anything to earn more salvation or to give up some of it. Can I just say something? There's not anything more going to be given to you in Christ. You've got it all right now. And sometimes we think spiritually, I just want more of Jesus. And I know what you're saying. You're saying you want to grow more. But I want to say something to you this morning. You have everything right now. Everything is yours. Everything has been given you. You're already in God's favor. You're already living in the grace of God. For Christ's sake, everything is settled. In fact, you have been made one with Christ. And when He looks at you, He sees Jesus. Why? Because where are you? You're placed where? In Christ. You're in the body. He is your head. And nothing you do can increase you in His favor. You are complete in Him. And nothing you do can decrease you in favor. But now look, I'm walking down here on earth. I'm His child. Does that mean sometimes He doesn't discipline me? Absolutely. He disciplines me because I'm His child. Doesn't mean I'm not in favor with Him. Doesn't change His love for me. He's just dealing with me because that's my practical part. That's my practice. But positionally, my standing with Him is perfect. Now, this will help you if you understand this. Can I just say something to you? God is not mad at you. He's not mad at you. Do you ever just feel like, oh, God's mad at me? He's not. I want you to look at Colossians 3:10. I put it on your handout. And that says, and you are complete in Him. Everything you need is there. Hebrews 10:14 says, and He has perfected you forever by the offering, the one offering of Jesus Christ. Now, can I just say to you, positionally, get this in your mind. You're perfect. Positionally, you are complete. Because do you remember what we talked about last week? We talked about we were baptized into Christ. And we went to Romans 8 and we looked at that. You were baptized into His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Somehow, I don't know how, but in God's mind, when I got saved, He took me back, and 2,000 years ago, when Christ died on the cross, I died. I was identified with Him. I was baptized into His death. I was baptized into his burial. I was made one with him in his resurrection. And so therefore, as a Christian, I was raised to walk in a new way of life. My position is totally secure. God doesn't see me anymore as an individual because he sees me in his son. He sees me in Christ. Now let me say it this way. When you have a baby, that baby comes into the world with everything intact. There are no parts missing in that baby. But that baby has to grow. That baby has to learn to walk and to talk and to dress himself and to grow unto a teenager and then to an adult. It's the same thing spiritually. And that's our practice. We're born baby Christians and we grow into maturity. But positionally, when you're born, you have everything. You have everything intact. You have every part you need. You've just got to grow in regards to it, and that's your practice. So when God does a work at salvation, I want to say this, it's total, it's complete. Your position is that you're made perfect before God, and you've just got to grow like that little baby. You don't need to say, oh God, I hope you're not mad at me. I want you to like me better. I'm going to work real hard so you'll like me better. You can't make God like you better. You're in Christ. He loves you just like he loves his son, Jesus. So Christian growth has nothing to do with your position. It only has to do with your practice. Now, is that making sense with you this morning, with what I'm teaching you? We don't have to run around trying to make God like us better. Because if you're a Christian, he loves you totally. Because he loves you as much as he loves Christ. And you're in Christ. Now, let that sink in this morning. Believe it. Sometimes I just sit around and I think about it. God, you love me. I mean, you really do love me. That just brings such comfort. And a lot of times when I have those feelings that come on me to try to tell me I'm not good and I'm awful and all that kind of stuff. You know what? I just sit down and say, now, just wait a minute. What's my position? I'm in Christ. He doesn't love me any less than he loves Billy Graham. I'm in Christ. I'm secure. That will never change. And I let that comfort me. And when you understand these things, and these are the things that we've learned, listen to me. You were chosen in Christ. When were you chosen? Before the foundation of the world. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. All of your sins were canceled. Your debt was forgiven. And not only that, he's granted to you to be a part of his eternal plan. And that an inheritance is planned for you. It's incorruptible, undefiled. It doesn't fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. When you start letting these things sink in that they're yours in Christ, you're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's what verse 3 told us. All of it is yours. This is who you are. And so now Paul just stops to pray. And what is he praying? Oh God, help them see who they are in Christ. Help them understand these things. And this is just such a marvelous prayer. Let's look at it. Look at verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. Now stop right there. Because you see two things in that verse that tells Paul that the people he's writing to are genuine, for real, born-again Christians. Number one, their faith in the Lord. Number one, their faith in the Lord. He says, I've heard of your faith in the Lord. And number two, your love for all the saints. Those are two true indicators of genuine salvation. Look at verse 16. I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And then he turns to his first petition. Let's look at it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. Let's stop right there for a minute. What he's asking for is that they'll understand their riches in Christ. He's praying, Lord, just deliver those dear, dear Christians from frantically searching for what they already possess. Give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him so that they'll know what is theirs. And they'll be able to use it in the living out of their life. Very practical. I mean, think about it, y'all. We spend so much time fretting and chasing. And we're fretting and chasing after what we've already got. We say, oh, Lord, please give me strength. Did you know in Christ, He's given you strength. The Bible tells us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's already yours. Did you know that? We say, oh, Lord, give me more love. And yet in Christ, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, says Romans 8. You've already got love. You don't have to pray for it. Just, God, grow it big in me. I want to draw on what's mine in Christ. We say, oh, God, give me grace. But in Christ, He says, my grace is sufficient for you. I've already made my grace abound. You're standing in the very foundation of grace. You've already gotten it. Oh, God, give me peace. You know what? He's already given you. He is your peace. He'll give you the peace that passes understanding. Do you know what the Bible says you should pray for? One thing, wisdom. Wisdom. If you lack it, James says, just ask Him and He'll give it to you. And I think I put this on your handout. I really like this statement. Come on in, Judy. Glad you're here. And wisdom is the sense not to keep asking for what you've already got. Y'all, learn who you are in Christ. Learn what God has done for you in Christ. And then start rejoicing in it. Paul is just saying, I'm praying that they'll know with their minds how much is theirs in Christ. They'll know their position. They'll understand their resources. And they're going to use that knowledge in the living out of their Christian lives. Now, I think this is why Sunday school is so important. You cannot walk out and live out spiritually what you do not understand or know. And ladies, it's time for us to get out of the baby beds as Christian women. It's time for us to grow up and learn who we are in Christ. And then step out and live it. And do battle with Satan when he tries to come and tell you what a low-down person you are. Don't listen to it. You're in Christ. The resources of Christ are yours. Do you understand that? It's got to be revelation knowledge. The Holy Spirit's got to reveal it to you before it can become wisdom, which is the practical walking out of it. And that's what Paul's praying for. Give them revelation, God. I've just taught them all this awesome theology. Now help them see what I've taught them so that they'll know it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you'll get a grip on what we've studied in these last four lessons of who you are in Christ, I'm telling you what, it will be life-changing. I want to give a personal testimony. When it dawned on me who I was in Christ, and I'm still learning, I can only say it dramatically changed my life and how I live my life. And for me, it did some things. Number one, it just filled my heart with gratitude as I learned everything God had done for me in Christ. And it just made me want to live for Christ. I said, Lord, I just can't believe all you've done for me. Take my life and use me. I mean, I want to be a Minuteman in your army. I want to obey you wholeheartedly. I want to do life your way. I want to learn more. It made me hungry to learn more. I mean, I wanted to find out what those promises of God were. And this is another thing it did for me. When I learned who I was in Christ, I felt very loved. I felt very valuable. I felt forgiven. I felt accepted. And nothing can change it. It's forever settled. I'm secure in Christ. Now, these truths that you're learning are powerful truths. Do you believe them? Do you believe them? That's what I'm saying to you this morning. Now, Paul's going to go into three specific things real quickly that he wants us to grasp in this prayer. And number one, he's going to pray that we may understand the greatness of his plan. The greatness of his plan. That's number one. Let's look at verse 18. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's God's whole plan in one verse. The hope of his calling, that's who you are. Called before the foundation of the world. and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's what God has prepared for us. It's a rich plan. Look at that phrase in verse 18. The riches of the glory of his inheritance. Now there is an inheritance for us. It's not only an inheritance, but look at it. It's the glory of it. And it's not only the glory of it, but the riches of the glory of his inheritance. We need to understand something. We're a part of this plan. We are connected to unbelievable resources. Unbelievable resources. And then number two, he's praying that we may understand the greatness of his power. Look at verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of the power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. He uses four words in that one verse for power alone. The word, the Greek word dunamis, that means inherent power. That's where we get our word dynamite from. Then we have the next Greek word, E-N-E-R-I-A. That means operative power. Operative power. And then there's a Greek word, K-R-A-T-O-S. That means ultimate power. And then the Greek word, I-S-C-H-U-S. It means endowed power. So you've got inherent power, operative power, ultimate power, endowed power. And what Paul is saying to us here is, oh my goodness, there's power every way you cut it, and it's all yours. You have power, listen to me, to live the Christian life victorious. You do. You're in Christ. You have power in Christ to live out the Christian life victoriously. You have power to share the gospel. You can go out and share the gospel. He gives you power to do that. You have power, if God calls you to suffer. You can do it because he's given you the power. You have power to do God's will. You have power to serve him because in Christ, he's given you everything you need. In fact, he wants us to get a good understanding, so he gives us an illustration in verse 20. Look at it with me. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What's the illustration? He's so powerful. It's just like the very same power that took Christ out of the grave and raised him and took him all the way to the right hand of God. That's how much power. He's powerful, believe me. And then he goes to talk about the person of Christ, number three, in verse 21. His wonderful person. Look at it with me in verse 21. Far above all rule and authority. Now, can I just tell you something? Jesus is above all rule, all authority. He's above any angel. And then it goes on to say he's above every name that is named. Not only in this age, but in the one to come. Verse 22. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Listen, we are filled with him. We are seated with him, and everything is beneath him. Somebody ought to shout amen.
Amen.
That's where you are. That's who you are. All power is yours. It's in Christ. That's who you are positionally. Now, I know in our practice, we don't always experience that, do we? We're in sanctification. We're just growing. We're learning. But in practice, in position, that's where you are. Nothing is above him. There is no greater power than him. No one can ever change anything that he has planned because no one has greater power than he has. No one can love you more. No one can ever do more for you. You are secure in him. We are in him. We are the fullness of Christ in the world. He has chosen to radiate himself through us. And may we, the ones who are called by his name, the ones who are redeemed by his precious blood, the ones who are indwelt by his spirit, may we understand and see who we are in Christ. Now that's Paul's prayer. He gives all this awesome theology in the first part of the chapter, and then he prays, God, just open their eyes to see it, because only the Holy Spirit can show them who they are. Now, I want you to do this week. I want you to go home, and I want you to meditate on this prayer. And I want you to ask God, God, give me a spirit of revelation knowledge, that I may understand who I am in Christ. I mean, I really want to see it. Do you want to know who you are? Do you want to meditate on these truths? I'm telling you, they will transform your life. You are very valuable. You are very loved. Everything you need is already in place. You don't have to cry out to God, God, give me more. He's giving you everything you need in Christ. And the power is there for you to live a victorious life. You've just got to learn to stand up and understand who you are in Christ. That's why I'm saying we're studying meaty things. These are the deep truths of God. It's time to get out of the baby bed. It's time to know who you are positionally in Christ. Now, do you understand the difference in your position and your practice? Because don't let that confuse you. Sometimes in your practice, you don't quite feel who you are in your position. But if you know these things, if God has revealed them to you, they will give you such a spirit of victory in your life as you're walking in your practice. And God, you know, eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love Him. We're headed toward an eternal, unbelievable destiny with Christ. And it's time for us to live in a victorious way while we're in our practice on earth. Amen? Amen. And may God just raise us up to be women of God who are mature and who are strong. And you have to learn these things. You learn these truths, and then they transform your thinking, and then you begin to walk them out. You can't walk out what you don't know. That's why Bible study is so important. And then this will help you in your prayer life. It'll help you. God, I've already got that in Christ. I'm just going to rest. And, you know, I have learned in my prayer life, and this is one thing that's really changed. I don't go to God so much and say, give me this, give me that, I need that, all that, all just petition after petition. I've just learned to go and praise Him for the glorious God He is. God, You're so magnificent. God, look what You've done for me in Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful before You this morning for everything, for Your redemption, Your blood that was shed for me. What does that mean for me? It's incredible what that means for me. And I'm just going to think about my glorious eternal inheritance that I'm destined for. And I'm going there. And God, I'm not what I was, but I'm not all I should be. But God, I'm growing in the knowledge of who You are. I want to learn more of You. I want to love You more. I want to see You in Your fullness. I want to understand Your glory and Your majesty. And you see, I just get caught up in prayer and I haven't even asked Him for a thing. You know why? Because I already have it. It's already mine in Him. I just learned to praise Him for everything. God, every day of my life, You know exactly what's happening. And I've told you before, I could just go crazy thinking about all the grandchildren. I mean, you know what? 25 stockings hanging on my stairway. 2 more to be added next year. And, you know, if I think about it, I could get so nervous at all the dynamics of their lives. You know, and we haven't even hit adolescence yet. Can you imagine? But I just have to say, oh God, You're big enough. You're so big. I just pray they come to be in You, because You have everything they need. You see, as a grandmother, I just can pray for them that God, you've got to capture their hearts. I mean, I'm just praying, protect them, put Your angels. You see, I just take all my care. I cast it on You. But when you learn who you are, you've got to learn who you are. That's why I say to you so many times, make sure you're saved. You got to make sure you're in Christ. That's the first step. And then once you're there, everything is yours. And you've got the Spirit of God. And He gives you revelation knowledge to grasp who you are in Christ. Who you are. These are such wonderful truths. And if you've missed any of my lessons, go back and listen to them on the internet. Go to braggingpost.com, click on Oasis, and all of my lessons will come up. Not that I'm that great of a teacher. I'm not. But the truths are so great. And somehow, feebly, I've shared them with you. And I can only tell you I've experienced them. God's given me revelation knowledge to know who I am in Christ. And it's made all the difference. All the difference. Get out of the baby bed. Grow up. He's the living God. Serve Him with all of your life and all of your heart. He's so worthy of our service. Amen? He's so worthy. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these marvelous truths about our position. And God, sometimes our practice, it just sucks. Forgive me, but we fall so far short of who we are in Christ. And God, it's just because we're babies. We need to grow up. We need to have revelation knowledge of who we are in Christ. Everything you've done for us. Oh, I pray that our lives will count for your kingdom. Just speak to us, Father. We pray right along with Paul that you would give us a spirit of revelation knowledge and wisdom that we might understand all that is ours in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for Ephesians. What a gift. And Father, we just bless your name for all you've done for us in Christ. We rejoice in it. It's so awesome and incredible and unbelievable and beautiful. And amazing. And it gives us worth. And it gives us value. And we bless you for your love for us. Thank you for electing us, for choosing us before the foundation of the world. It's amazing. We just praise you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, chapter 2, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to give us a whole bunch of theology. And then he's going to pray again. So get ready. And don't miss chapter 2.